Well, hello everyone. This is Leah Remini and I am joined by my partner, Mike Rinda. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Leah.
It's good to be back.
To be back with you.
I know. You too. And for those of you who don't know who we are and why we're partnered up again, Mike and I did a show for A&E, a documentary series on the abuses, exposing the abuses of Scientology. And we did that for 3 seasons. And we ended that series. And obviously, the conversation needs to continue and continue in a different way. And I don't, like, one time you said to me, like, it'd just be great if we could talk. So the series is called Fair Game, and we should discuss, Mike, why don't you discuss what Fair Game is from your perspective, being that you were head of the department that executed the activities that follow under the policies and directives of Fair Game. What is Fair Game?
Right. Fair Game's a term in Scientology that is used to describe, or was used to describe, the taking care of, and that's the euphemistic term,
okay,
threats and enemies of Scientology. What it really is a series of writings and policies, directives by L. Ron Hubbard that lay out how you go about destroying someone who is an enemy of Scientology. And an enemy of Scientology is anybody who speaks out about Scientology in a way that is not authorized by Scientology, or seeks to expose the abuses that are ongoing, or to control in any way, shape, or form the activities of Scientology, such as the government or the FBI or any other law enforcement agency.
So your mother, whose child you have not seen, who's in Scientology, in the Sea Org, you haven't seen them, intend or heard from them, you're worried about them after watching Going Clear, The Aftermath, and reading Scientology, but you know, people who've exposed Scientology. You go to the police and you just say, I just want a welfare check done on my child who's in Scientology. Are you fair game to Scientology?
Absolutely. You will have a private investigator on your doorstep before you can shake a stick at him.
You're a journalist just doing a story about Scientology. You're not trying to attack Scientology. You're just reporting the facts. But it's not complimentary Scientology, because you're reporting facts on Scientology. It isn't complimentary. So is that person fair game?
Absolutely. You'll have a video and probably a Freedom Magazine cover up on you within a week.
Now, what's Freedom Magazine? Is that another front group of Scientology?
Yes, it's the Scientology mouthpiece propaganda organ, which is used to distribute information about people Scientology doesn't like. And when I say information, I mean falsehoods.
Right. You're a person who's not a Scientologist and go in and decide you want nothing to do with Scientology, and you go and you tell people, listen, this costs thousands and thousands of dollars. I don't think it's you should do it. It's like a money-making scheme. Are you fair game to Scientology?
Absolutely.
You can, okay, so it doesn't matter if you're a Scientologist, were a Scientologist, you're just fair game if you do anything outside of what Scientology says you should do or say.
Correct. That's a perfect summation of what fair game is.
Now, Scientology claims that this policy of fair game is canceled, and they have given to the press proof of this. And Mike, why don't you explain that?
Well, the cancellation, Leah, is a statement by L. Ron Hubbard that says, we're no longer going to use the term fair game because it creates bad public relations. However, we do not change how we deal with the enemies of Scientology.
Right. And the press never understood. They just accepted that as an answer, as opposed to going, oh, it just means that you don't put it in writing that we're doing fair game.
Right. Or you won't hear Scientologists use that word. They'll say, oh, we never use that. We don't have a fair game policy. So, blah, 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 blah. But if you ask them about the details of, do you have a policy that says you should destroy your enemies, that critics are all criminals, etc., 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 they can't deny that. But unfortunately, generally, the media are unfamiliar with all those things. That's
exactly
where you and I come in.
Right. And that's the other thing, is that L. Ron Hubbard said that for anyone to be against Scientology's policies and principles is evil and hellbent on being has a penchant for what, Mike?
Destruction of mankind.
Yes, and we abhor light, and they are the light. And anyone who goes against Scientology is a criminal. Now, understand that when L. Ron Hubbard writes something, it is true. It cannot be assimilated. It cannot be understood by you and me in different ways. It has to be understood exactly the way it's written. All Scientologists are mandated to read policies, and we all know the same thing. So we all read the same thing, except confidential Sea Org directives, like Mike is talking about, the fair game directives. Parishioners are not exactly privy to those things, but we were all indoctrinated to believe that anyone who speaks out against Scientology, whether it's true or not, is a criminal. So Scientology and Scientologists have to make that true. Understand that what you are going to see from Scientology and Scientologists alike, all these celebrity Scientologists, they all have to make the person who's speaking out to be evil and or a criminal. So they have to believe that. So in moving forward, we could just look forward to lots of, well, you know, you should look at the person talking and all that. Right, Mike?
Yep, absolutely.
Find out for yourself. And listen, Scientologists, people have found out for themselves. I know you don't have a new line because L. Ron Hubbard's dead and he's not coming back, which is what you believe. So they have to follow the same shit, Mike. They can't even come up with a new line because it's not what L. Ron Hubbard said.
Right.
Find out for yourself. Say that. Okay? They have, motherfuckers. That's why nobody's going into Scientology. Sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
Exactly. The restrictions that people don't understand who just watch a TV show and they don't understand how much stuff goes into it that you never get to show.
Right. And you never get to, you know, it really wasn't about us, which was, you know, not our role, was not to tell our stories or to interject, you know, what we thought, because we agreed with everything everybody said who had horrible experience with Scientology, because we had our own experiences. But we were doing this program as a to give a voice to those who really didn't have one, because when we started the show, all that was really being talked about was Scientology, and as far as Scientology abuses is concerned, is online. You know, you did an amazing interview on with the Tampa Bay Times, and you were on CNN, you were in Going Clear, but there was nothing on a weekly basis that was exposing Scientology. And so we were very happy to do the program.
And you're right, Leah. We felt the conversation needed to continue in a different way.
Well, hang on, Mike. We just couldn't continue to sit there and listen to horrific story after horrific story without doing something. And the aftermath served its purpose in that it went from people thinking it's an innocuous cult, you know, Tom Cruise, he's a wacky guy, you know, jumping on a couch, to holy shit, this is a dangerous, vile cult.
Right. And also, I think, Leah, very importantly, people recognize it could be me.
Right.
These experiences that people had, the abuse that they suffered, it's not just happening to fringe people who are weirdos. This could very well just be me. I could have gotten caught up in this, and I could have been victimized too by Scientology. And I think that almost beyond anything was the astonishing accomplishment that the victims accomplished by being on the show. They showed that they are just normal, real, likable, genuine people who got got mistreated and abused.
Right, right. And I think that's the same, you know, I had that idea about other cults, you know what I mean? Like, well, that would never happen to me. And people said, you know, after watching the show, I totally get how, you know, Mary Kahn got into it. I get how Mike Rinder got into it. I get why you stayed. I get why you put up with the abuse. And so I think we've accomplished what we were going to accomplish there. Now, Scientology is running around saying that they got our show canceled, which is amazing because, I mean, if they're admitting to their fair game tactics, which we're going to talk about in a minute, but this is what Scientology does. You know, when you speak out and tell the truth, they go after you and try to discredit you. And amongst other things, like destroying your life and your family. But Ed Parkin, who, by the way, I'm excited to have this podcast because people like Ed Parkin, who is an employee of Scientology, he works for Scientology, he's a Sea Org member, which means he lives communally with other Sea Org members. Scientology pays for this man's life. He does not have any outside life other than Scientology business. And this is what they do all day, all night for $50 a week. And they sign billion-year contracts, and he's a Scientology employee parading around as, what does he call himself, Mike? A defender of the First Amendment?
Yeah, yeah. An upholder of human rights, a champion of the First Amendment, whatever.
Right. And what's so funny about him and all of Scientology's front groups, which we should dedicate a show to, by the way,
yes,
the front groups of Scientology that infiltrate real charitable organizations, real organizations who really do work to protect the First Amendment. They infiltrate these organizations to appear as though they're legitimate. And what they should know is that you are giving them the legitimacy that they want by going, well, I mean, I don't want to get into any kind of scuffle with Scientology, but we will. We'll continue to do the work and expose it and allow, you know, these pussies to get away with what they're doing. But Ed Parkin has a special place in my heart because he is so creepy. He's just so creepy, and he shows up to court. I mean, he was at Valerie Haney's court appearance.
Hearing.
Sorry.
He
was taking notes. He showed up to something having to do with the Danny Masterson case. This is just what he does, and this is what Scientology does as part of their fair game tactics. Now, Ed Parkin's running around on Twitter and social media going, we got Mike and Leah and this show off the air. And, you know, Ed, keep it coming because the lawsuit will be huge that you are responsible for, you're claiming responsibility for getting me and Mike fired off of our program. Is that right, Mike?
Yeah, that's exactly right. He's not the only one.
And the reason, only reason I bring up creepy Eddie Parkin is because from the Stan League is because recently Danny Masterson has been charged with three counts of rape, correct?
Yes,
and
absolutely.
He will be arraigned on September 18th. So, you know, we'll be following that, of course, and talking about that. But what we want to talk about is that's happened since the show, since we wrapped the aftermath. And people always ask, like, what's going on? Are you guys still working? Mike and I are always working. There's a group of us, and it's not just me and Mike. I mean, I could give you a list of people who have been fighting to expose Scientology many years before me and Mike and are still doing it. And so we all continue to join forces to we've met with the FBI, we've met with police departments, we're talking to further victims, we're putting those people in touch with the authorities. We continue to try to connect the dots and provide law enforcement with any information they need on how Scientology will try to evade criminal charges against them. But they've been doing that for decades. So since then, Mike, I mean, we're all being fair gamed constantly. the people who are coming forward who have lawsuits against Scientology are being fair gamed as we speak. Law enforcement is well aware of it, and we just continue to just continue to bring that to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And Leah, I think that's something that else that we now have that we have never had before, which right. is an outlet that allows us to talk about what's going on right now.
Right.
What's just happened, how to interpret things that are going on, because Scientology hasn't stopped their abuses.
Right.
They just carry on as if nothing ever happened.
Right.
So they need to continue to be exposed, and we now have an opportunity to be able to do that in a much more in-depth fashion than right. we have ever done it before.
Right.
Whatever it's going to take to be able to get the whole story out that we've never been able to tell before.
Right, because we spoke to the three alleged victims of Danny Masterson 4 years ago. And we did a finale where we spoke to one that we had previously spoken to, Chrissy Bixler, and then a new victim came forward, Bobette. And she was not a Scientologist, and that was in the finale. Something needs to be done about Scientology and the obstruction of justice, and that these women came forward and they told the Church of Scientology, and the Church of Scientology has this information, had this information, not only these victims, but countless, Mike, I mean countless amount of victims, in their folders. And I wanted you to talk about a little bit about the folders, Mike, and the process of what happens when something like this happens, where let's take somebody who was molested or raped in Scientology as a child or just as a young man or woman. What happens from your position of being the head of the Office of Special Affairs, who deals with this internally in Scientology? What happens?
The first thing that happens, Leah, is that everybody who knows anything about it is rounded up and everybody else is told to shut up. If a report comes in that there has been a case of child sexual abuse, mm-hmm. then the perpetrator of the abuse, the victim of the abuse, and anybody else who may have known anything about it are all rounded up by the Office of Special Affairs mm-hmm. and corralled and cut off from the rest of the Scientology world in order to be able to control the message and control the information that may get out to law enforcement or the media. The next thing that happens is that the people who have been victimized, the victims, are interrogated. And as you know, and as we've explained in slightly, but not in great detail, the concept in Scientology is that whatever happens to you is a result of your own misdeeds.
Right. So, for example, if I go to my Scientology counselor, and I say, listen, I was just molested by another Scientologist. They put me on the meter, on the Scientology lie detector. And they say, okay, so what did you do to receive that? What did you do? And you're like, well, I can't rape anybody. I mean, I don't have a penis. I mean, I really can't insert something into another. I mean, so have you done anything similar? Have you ever touched anybody inappropriately? Have you ever this? And if I can't find an answer this lifetime, they'll ask me for a time in another lifetime where I was a man and molested another boy or girl. And that is their way of saying somehow this is your fault, whether from this lifetime or another lifetime. And you're supposed to go, oh, I see. So it was my fault. I received this action because I did it to another person.
Right. And mm-hmm. and the vital importance of that and why the victim is always the first person to be dealt with is once you get someone to that point where mm-hmm. they have agreed that they caused it or they mm-hmm. are responsible for it, mm-hmm. they're not going to go running to law enforcement. They are contained.
Yeah, yeah, they're contained. Perfect word. Now, when you as an OSA representative, would you, if somebody said to you, a Scientologist said to you, you know, Mr. Mike Rinder, I want to go report this to the police. I don't believe this person's going to get fixed. What is OSA and Scientology saying to everybody who is witness to this or knew that this was happening?
Well, there are a lot of Scientology principles that come into play, but the first one is, what is the greatest good? Right. And that is an idea in Scientology that one acts only for the best of all, of everything and everybody. And
right.
In this case, in Scientology, that means what's best for Scientology, because Scientologists all believe that Scientology is helping every man, woman, and child on Earth mm-hmm. reach eternal spiritual salvation. So what's good for Scientology is good for everybody.
No, but let's say, I get that in those terms, but in real terms, in like street terms, Mike, I mean, you... Just the bottom line is every celebrity Scientologist, every Scientologist who was witness to any crime in Scientology knows that what people are saying is true. If it didn't happen to them, it happened to somebody that they know. But they just are like, shut the fuck up. Don't go and tell the police. You're fucking with Scientology. Like, yeah, he did that. That's fucked up. But you don't go and tell the police because that's against, like, you don't go and talk about it, which is, whether you're going to the police, Mike, about a heinous crime like rape or being molested or doing a show like we're doing on The Aftermath where parents are just talking about their kids disconnecting from them, it's the same mentality. Scientologists are just, they just believe, yeah, okay, that happened, but don't, you stepped over the line when you let the police know, or when right. you went public with a show, or you went on a podcast, or you went on the Aftermath, or Going Clear. Like, that's all they care about because of what you're saying, because it's the greatest good for the group. So yes, right. of course, that probably happened, but you know, maybe one day he'll get fixed with Scientology, but you don't talk about it.
Absolutely not. Bad PR is the driving force of Scientology. There's two things that drive Scientology: money and good or bad PR. When it comes to matters of crimes or abuses or whatever, that is all related to good PR for Scientology or bad PR for Scientology. Is there going to be bad media? Is this going to reflect badly on their image, etc., etc.?
And also, Mike, on top of the Danny Masterson, the district attorney's office filing charges against Danny Masterson, there's also another civil suit going about Scientology fair gaming the victims.
Right. And covering up and working to obstruct justice.
But Mike, frankly, isn't that what you did all day, all night as a person who worked for OSA? I mean, tell me, Mike, that or tell our audience, isn't this what you did with Lisa McPherson, with the IRS, with every crime that's happened in Scientology? You destroy Absolutely. Evidence. Talk about
Absolutely.
That, Mike.
It there is nothing that is outside the realm of what can be done when it comes to protecting Scientology from criminal prosecution or bad public relations or whatever is deemed this is not acceptable. So we, as soon as it's decided that either you're an enemy or this is unacceptable or we don't want this in the press or we don't want this going to law enforcement, there is no holds barred, Leah. Materials get destroyed. Evidence gets destroyed. Witnesses get disappeared. They get sent, like, if there is a witness to a crime and there appears that perhaps law enforcement is going to show up to subpoena or start talking to that witness, whew, they're gone to Denmark or Australia.
Why don't you give us, but Mike, why don't you give us an example, a real example where you there was something going on and you said, okay, here's what we're doing. Get the folders, everybody, and who heard about it? Get her off to Sweden. I mean, like, why don't you give us a real example?
Well, the probably the best example is the Lisa McPherson case.
Okay, so Lisa McPherson was a Scientologist, a young woman in Clearwater, Florida.
Right. And the people who knew and had information about what had happened to Lisa McPherson and how she died were rounded up immediately. Mm-hmm. Evidence that was contained in her pre-clear file, which is the folder that Scientology keeps on every individual of all of the counseling procedures that they go through and everything that they have to say.
And Mike, that's an important point. Every Scientologist has a Scientology folder. And we keep saying this to law enforcement. If you ever wanted to catch Scientology for what they've been doing to people for five decades, you would only need to do what you did in 1977, FBI, which was raid Scientology, and there you found their crimes in writing. Because here's the good news. There's a policy that L. Ron Hubbard wrote that said everything must be in writing. And you couldn't ask. It's a gold mine of crimes. And those who hid it, those who knew about it, the obstruction of it, Mike, drives me insane, as you can hear in my voice. It drives me insane when we're asked over and over, and so has everybody else who loves Scientology, what can we do? We say the same thing. Raid the files. It's all there in the folders, everybody. Every crime Scientology has ever committed is in the folders that they're not allowed to get rid of, only in moments of like this, Mike, but they would get caught because the policy on how to write things down in someone's folder is very specific. So if you see page one and you don't see page three, you could say, well, where's fucking page three? Well, I guess now you're under arrest for obstructing justice. Like, I mean, so you are told by whom to destroy evidence in people's folders.
Well, actually, it was Marty Rathbun who was told by David Miscavige,
the leader,
to do this in coordination with a lawyer at the time who was the in-house lawyer for Scientology. But those materials were literally shredded. The witnesses who had been in contact with Lisa McPherson, most of whom were maids that were in the hotel at the Fort Harrison Hotel, which is the Scientology headquarters in Clearwater.
And had no medical license. They had no business taking care of somebody who was sick and needing medical attention.
They didn't even know how to clean rooms. They were just women, literally. There were five of them, I think, women from Central and South America who had been brought in on illegal religious worker visas and had ended up being room cleaners who were given the responsibility of watching over this woman before she died.
Right.
Those women went back to their homes in South America or Central America or wherever they came from before the police could interview them.
Just want to correct you. They didn't go home. They were sent home by Scientology to avoid being questioned by the police because they were somewhat responsible for the death of Lisa McPherson under the direction of David Miscavige and Flagland-based employees, Sea Org members, right?
Right.
Okay. So, and this is usual. There are people who, so you,
there
so,
is
and
Mar- testimony, and by the way, Leah.
Yes, about- I was going to say that.
There's testimony about destruction of evidence from Vicki Azenran, from Jesse Prince, from Marty Rathbun, all former senior officials of David Miscavige's organization, Religious Technology Center. There, I know for a fact that when the IRS was investigating Scientology, there were very senior Scientology officials, Mark Ingber, Fran Harris, and some others, who were whisked off to Denmark to get out of the IRS jurisdiction so they couldn't be subpoenaed or questioned by the IRS about what was going on with the finances of Scientology.
So this fair game, this avoiding of subpoenas, like you're saying, to avoid being questioned and having to tell the truth, is this what's going on now as we speak with, let's say, Danny Masterson? What is happening right now in Scientology, and what can we expect moving forward? Because I've seen Kirstie Alley, not because she's blocked me, as all pussy Scientologists do, but you know, sometimes we get people copy and paste the tweets of this lunatic's tweets. But she's of course defending Danny as well. So are going to be all Scientologists involved, not just Sea Org members, but the friends of, and all Scientologists are going to come forward, and they're going to do what?
Well, I thought you wanted to know first about what do we expect is going to happen.
Yeah,
the first thing that we expect is going to happen is the key people who knew about what happened with mm-hmm. these alleged rapes of yeah. Danny Masterson, mm-hmm. most notably Angie LeClaire, who was the person that did the Scientology counseling interviews on Masterson and some of the victims.
Right.
They're going to disappear. They're going right. to suddenly be reassigned to locations outside of the jurisdiction of the LA District Attorney's Office.
Okay.
Most likely outside the country. Most likely, Angie LeClaire already is sitting on the Free Winds, the Scientology ship that's sitting in some port in Curacao or Aruba or somewhere. Mm-hmm. And outside of any jurisdiction of any police force in the world.
Interesting, because you know what's interesting about Mike? Like, I would say, okay, well, I know Angie, right? Angie, I knew very well, because Angie was my counselor in Scientology when I was in Scientology. I have a picture of Angie. I would say, hey, Mike, let's throw up a picture of Angie LeClaire on your blog, and if anybody's seen her. Here's the thing. You're not going to see Angie, because like you said, they put her on a freaking ship with Scientologists and Sea Org members, and she will not be allowed to leave that ship. So we'll never see Angie again.
If she is on the Free Winds, she will be out of sight for the next 5 years.
Right.
Like other people who have disappeared.
So that's a standard practice from OSA via David Miscavige to, okay, let's reel it in. Who is involved? Who knows about it? Ship those Sea Org members out of the jurisdiction of law enforcement.
Right.
Right? That's the first thing. Right. Then what?
And then get every person who is a potential witness or could be a witness. It's going to look too obvious if everybody just disappears. So right. all the other witnesses that we want to say positive things, mm-hmm. get them with an attorney.
Right.
And get them being briefed and drilled so everybody's story is the same
so
right
when you say
from the get-go.
Drilled, what do you mean, Mike? What do you mean by that? Like, you're going to pull, like, let's say I'm a parishioner and okay. I knew Danny, which I did. You would pull me into a room at a Scientology organization and you would say what to me? You'd say what?
I would say, okay, so you may be interviewed and here is the questions that are likely to be asked of you when you're interviewed. And I want to hear how you're going to answer them. And okay. I might start by saying, have you ever seen Danny Masterson sexually abuse someone? And you answer,
no.
Well, no. And I would say, nope, that's not an acceptable answer. Yes, the well, no is okay, but you need to say, well, no. And he was happily married.
I see.
And he had been in a happy, monogamous relationship the entire time I have known him.
What if I say to you, Mike, Sea Org member, Lee is a Scientologist on board. I go, but here's the thing, Mike. I mean, I did know Danny to be quite a bit of an asshole. You know, he was abusive to his Scientology staff. I mean, you know that. Like, he was just...
That's irrelevant and not something that you need to be talking about.
Don't want me to say that? Okay, go ahead.
Well, let's get back to the answer to the question, okay. which is, have you seen Danny involved in sexually abusing anybody? Now, give me your answer again, and okay. let's make sure that you get it right this time.
Okay, I'm going to say no, and he's happily married.
Good.
Great.
Okay. So I'm going to spring that one on you again, like a couple of minutes down the road after we've talked about some other things, and see if you can still answer it the right way.
Like, you're scaring me already, Mike. I'm already feeling very, very under. I'm feeling very scared.
But Leah, anybody who is listening to this can see this in action with the Anderson Cooper interview of the ex-wives of the of me and Marty Rathbun and Jeff Hawkins.
But you're right, because they were very drilled. They seemed very well. They seemed psychotic, but they just. They had the same answer. They all said the same thing, and then they acted like they were about to say something else, but then they said the same thing again. And that, you're saying, is coming from being locked in a room with somebody like you. And Mike, you know, I have to say, like, you just even doing that little bit of a reenactment, like, you were not even being the Mike Rinder that you're supposed to be, right? But I was already feeling like I was back in Scientology, the way you were talking to me.
It was like when we were sitting down ready for John Sweeney.
Right.
I mean, this is it. We've done this, Leah.
Yeah.
You and I did this when John Sweeney was doing his Panorama program, and you and Ann Archer and Kirstie and whoever else were being interviewed, and we sat and we said, okay, here's the story. This guy's a drunk. He's a blah. This is what you need
to
say.
Attacker.
Here's the message, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And that's what then happens.
Right. So you're saying that's what happened with every person, whether they were a Sea Org member or friend of Danny Masterson, it doesn't matter. They're all going to be pulled in and drilled to say this, that Danny was a great guy. These are old charges. This is being done for publicity, for money, for a television show, whatever the fuck they're going to say. And this is all part of the Scientology script that we could look forward to come, hopefully, to trial.
Yes. And we will see this, unless, of course, Danny Masterson decides to tell the truth, in which case, hell will break loose.
And Scientology, by the way, because Scientology knows that it's true.
They're not going to decide to tell the truth, Leah. They will never decide to tell the truth. It could go that Danny Masterson decides to tell the truth and explain as a sort of a way out. This is what happened. Here's what Scientology told me. This is how they said this was going to be handled, blah, 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 blah. In which case, if he turns on them, he will get dumped on. But so, Scientology will still not tell the truth about how they covered it up.
But Mike, being that you were in OSA, okay, you were in OSA, and you're seeing the folders, you're seeing when it was reported to Scientology in 2003, right? 2004. You're seeing that. So you know it's true. How do you, in your right mind, then pull out the lawyer for Scientology and go, they're liars? That's what you say, knowing that it's true?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Without question. That is what will happen.
So you wouldn't even tell the truth to the lawyers? Don't the lawyers have to know the truth? Don't they?
Depends.
Okay.
It depends. That's a decision that has to be made on a case-by-case basis.
So no one in the room of the Church of Scientology will go, guys, this is not okay. Like, we're lying. L. Ron Hubbard says, tell the truth, doesn't he, somewhere? I mean, anywhere, God, like,
when it's convenient.
Right, but you know what I'm saying? So there's not one moment of, why are we going to go this far when we know it's true? Why not give Danny up and save themselves?
Because if they give Danny up, they're afraid that Danny will turn on them, and then they will not save themselves, because then the entire conspiracy that has gone on of covering up the evidence and keeping the witnesses away from telling the truth and persuading them not to tell the truth and intimidating and threatening them will all come out. And that is Scientology's worst nightmare.
And by the way, everybody, you should know that this is what's been going on since the victims, survivors came forward. Scientology has been fair gaming them consistently for 4 years, and it's still happening today. You might be like, well, how could they be doing that? Well, it happens, and then they report it to the proper authorities. So that's all that they can do. I mean, Scientology has a way of towing the line when it comes to intimidation and the law, right? They know it very well, and they know when they can cross it and when they can't. And so having people stalk you and go through your garbage, unfortunately, is not illegal when certain lines haven't been crossed. For example, in California, it has to be the same person three times to be considered stalking. So, and then that varies from state to state. So that's what we can expect going forward, is more fair game. Somehow you and I are related to that. Like, I don't know how Scientology has concocted the story that they are doing this because you or me or me, just me or you, we force them to come forward for a television show. And if we tell the story, doesn't mean we're doing that for the purpose of doing a television show. We're telling the story because they weren't receiving justice. You see, that's what the news is for, you fucking idiots. That's what documentaries are for, you schmucks. Like, no, if we didn't have documentary series, if we didn't have documentaries, if we didn't have the news, if we didn't have iPhones, if we didn't, a lot of issues would not be known about. So for Scientology, you continue to use this line, and like, by the way, like there's any money really in
documentary filmmaking.
Like, there's not the most lucrative business. Correct. And by the way, when you do make money, it's a lot of fucking work for a small amount of money. I can make more money in one fucking day doing acting, selling douches or tampons, than in the whole fucking three seasons of The Aftermath.
Yeah. Well, you know, That's what Scientology does.
Right.
They say that everybody is doing it because they have an axe to grind, because right. they want to make money, because they want their 15 minutes of fame, because, like, they've got reasons for everything except they're abusing people.
Right.
That never comes up. They never say, well, the reason we're having all this stuff appearing in the media is because we're doing bad stuff. Nope. It's only because there is someone with an ill motive who is exposing it.
Well, it's funny that you said that, Mike, because you, as we were talking about earlier, you were saying, you know, they're drilled on what to say, and everybody has to say the same thing. And if you look at Scientologists, and I'm talking celebrity Scientologists, I'm talking Sea Org member Scientologists, they all say the same thing. Don't believe the news. Find out for yourself. These people have an axe to grind. Oh, look, the enemies are attacking because we're winning and we're doing all these great things. And find out for yourself by looking at all the fake things we're pretending that we're doing for mankind. But listen, Mike, these are the lines that I would say, because I was drilled on what to say to the public as well. And when something like this broke in the news, I would go in and say, what's the real fucking deal? Like, what's happening here? Did this motherfucker do this shit? Well, you know, that's not important. What's important is that you say this, this, and this. Yeah, but I want to know, is this shit true? Was Mike Rinder beaten? Was Marty Rathbun beaten? Are these people at Gold being beaten? I want to know. And the answer that was given to me when I pushed and pushed and pushed, because I would not let it go, with the answer of, look, that's just an enemy line, you know, that Mike was doing horrific things and he was actually expelled from the Sea Org, and the same with Marty Rathbun. And by the way, little side note, we should talk about Marty Rathbun pretty soon here. So what I was told, particularly when you guys were in the news, when you were doing Anderson Cooper, and when you did a lengthy article, a series in the Tampa Bay Times, and you were speaking, you and Marty Rathbun, I was told that you two were doing the beatings, that you two were actually the criminals. And I was shown confidential session, you know, when you go into Scientology, security checking, you confess to crimes, crimes in quotes, Mike, Scientology crimes. We were shown those things where you admitted to not being like really dedicated Sea Org member, where you might have been late. And they were like, see, here's his confessions. I mean, he admits it himself. So here's what we want you to say. So, and that works. That worked for a little while. I mean, Mike, you know, until there were too many of you saying the same thing at different times. And other people that were not on television were saying that they saw that happen. And they had gone to the police. They had, as you guys had, you had gone to the FBI, you guys have gone to local law enforcement. It was just getting too many of the same thing. It was just getting too much. So I eventually did my own investigation by calling you, which was a sin in Scientology. Because you're not allowed to verify what they say about you. I mean, I don't even know what they're saying about me. Leah was having sex with animals. I don't know what they're saying. But, you know, friends of 35 years...
You're inciting people to commit murder.
Right.
And label everything.
I have a hard time with my label maker. Yeah, I actually hump my label maker, and I don't know why they didn't say that. I think I confess to that. I don't know why they don't put the truth out there. I mean, there's some shit in those folders that's, you know, I humped a teddy bear. I mean, like, I did some shit in my time, Mike.
Dymo labelers should be a sponsor of this show.
I think I agree. I mean, I don't know if they agree with me humping it. I didn't actually hump my dad, like, because I wouldn't want to, because I'm also a very clean person. So I wouldn't, but I am in love with that label maker, which, you know, literally Scientology had a former friend of mine make a hate video about me, because they also, they're in the business of making hate videos. What's the name of that place, that organization, that Scientology front group? What are they pretending to be?
The Scientology Media Productions?
No, Freedom Media Ethics. Is this where they do the hate websites, the hate sites on us? Yeah.
And
one of the hate videos they did on me was by a woman out of Clearwater, Florida, who has her own little story. And listen, you know, I'm going to say this to you Scientologists in good standing. You should really think about what the fuck you say, because... You know, I have information about you too, about your family, and, you know, I have information on all of you. And I could talk about it too. I could put out up a website as well. But we don't do that because we're trying to really get information out there that's hurting people. And your fair gaming us in the way that you do really says a lot about who you really are as people. And so if you, for one minute, think, brainwash yourself into thinking you're a good person by doing what you're doing, you're sadly mistaken. You need real help. And I would say that about all of us, Mike. You know, we all need help, which is why we were in Scientology. But Scientology did great damage to us and creates this other personality that justifies this heinous behavior that we were all engaged in, and they're still engaged in.
Right.
But anyway, this is what they're doing, is that they're running around. They're going to be doing this come this trial. They're going to continue to fear game anyone. And I only plead with those who know what happened in Scientology. This is your chance to actually be a decent person. And the right thing to do, even though you were taught that law enforcement was evil and the FBI is evil, the government's evil, you know, is evil, they mean you harm, and the psychs are horrible, and they're going to... You need to do the right thing by yourself. If a crime has been committed against you, this is your time. And if you witnessed it, if you're aware of a crime, this is your time to come forward. And I hope that, Mike, if one of them changed their mind, one of them, who are aware of a crime in Scientology, comes forward during this time and says, this happened, and I lied about it. I did know this was... just one person, Mike, I think we've done our job.
Absolutely, Leah. And I also beseech these people that they are not just coming forward or talking for the sake of helping to prosecute someone, but to protect people in the future. One of the things that strikes me always, like I watched Athlete A the other night on Netflix about the women's gymnastics and, you know, the Epstein thing and R. Kelly and all of these exposés that have happened, and the people who have had the courage to step forward almost uniformly have said that the reason that they're doing so is because they don't want anybody else to suffer like they had to suffer.
Right.
And I think that that is truly a motivation that even a Scientologist can get behind.
Right. Yeah. And the other thing too, Mike, is an important note about the Danny Masterson story is that victim A and B did not know about each other. And the reason why they decided to come forward after so many years when they had already, when it happened, is because of that reason. Why I had no idea, I thought I was the only one.
Right.
And then to find out that there were victims after them, they felt they had a responsibility to do something about it. So really, that is why this went forward. That's why we decided to tell their story, because we felt that something needed to be done about it to avoid more victims, this happening to other people. So, Mike, Scientology, I mean, you know, we always say, like, wow, we would just love to stop being shocked. You know, like, I don't even know what to tweet anymore. Like, I literally have taken to, like, going, don't have the words. Wow. When you think Scientology can't sink to a new low. Wow. Now, I don't even know what to say anymore. But
I know.
Scientology, they had the fucking balls, Mike, to take out three fucking PPP laws.
I know. I mean, the outrage is on levels of insanity. Leah, you realize that Scientology claims whenever anybody seeks to force them to take responsibility for their employees, that they're not employees, that they are volunteers.
So they can't have it both ways. Is anybody watching? Anybody listening? Papa,
right.
Can you hear me? Anybody? So I don't mean to make a fucking joke, but you know what? When people ask me, why are you so emotional? Like when I go to a freaking grocery store, this is why. This is why, Mike.
Yeah.
This is why when Angelo asked me where the freaking forks are in my house, I want to smother him with a pillow. Because I deal with this shit every day. And I'm like, is there a hidden camera somewhere? Does nobody watch what's going on? You're absolutely right, Mike. They say, well, they're not our employees when it works for them.
Right.
But they had the audacity. While small businesses are going out of business, while people can't eat, this $3 billion for-profit cult had the balls to take out three PPP loans during a pandemic.
Yeah, and let's add to that, Leah.
Yeah.
They told the IRS they are absolutely not a business. You know where these loans come from? The Small Business Administration. This is a loan from the Small Business Administration to assist businesses.
Who can we call, Mike? Who can we call out?
I don't know. Like when people are getting slapped in the face by this stuff, like where do you go that the point hasn't already been made? I don't get it. I don't get why like nobody seems to notice or like it's not like a big deal. It's just, oh, Scientology up to their usual old tricks here.
And you're talking, you're not a church. You don't do anything charitable. You don't give millions of dollars away. You don't feed the homeless. You don't feed the needy. You don't do shit for anybody except yourselves. And that's just not my opinion. I wish it were. I wish I could go to sleep at night going, Leah, you might have just exaggerated. You were a little I wish that I was exaggerating. These people do nothing that a church with tax exemption does. They don't pay taxes, but they don't do anything but amass $3 billion, and they use their money to stalk, harass, sue. This is where they're spending millions of dollars, in abusing people.
And not only that, Scientologists are told that they need to give more money to Scientology so that Scientology can survive through catastrophes and cataclysmic events and the downturn of the economy, etc., etc. And when it happens, they don't spend their own money. They go suck it out of the government, the right. same government that gave them tax exemption because they represented that they weren't a business, the same government that allows them not to pay minimum wage or social security taxes or whatever because they don't have any employees. They just have volunteers. This is complete bullshit.
Mike, what can people do? Can they call the IRS? Can they write the IRS?
I mean, they can write to their congressmen and senators, and that may seem futile, but the truth of the matter is, ultimately, when enough pressure is brought to bear on elected officials about issues, they will ultimately act. It takes a lot of momentum to get them going, but eventually they will act. And that's all I can think, because you can write to the IRS, sure, but the IRS usually only responds to pressure from Congress or pressure in the media.
So, yes. So that's what you could look forward to. It is, we're going to be following the story very closely, and as well, Scientology fair game tactics. We will be exposing all of it as we move on, and being able to talk in depth about a lot of the things that we didn't get to talk about on The Aftermath.
Right. And we've created a website called fairgamepodcast.com, where we will be loading documents and things that we talk about, videos, whatever may be relevant, so that people can see the actual evidence if they don't believe it.
Okay.
And there's also my blog, which is mikerindersblog.org, where there is an enormous amount of material that has been put together over many years now about Scientology abuses, about the subject of fair game, the policies, etc., etc.
Yeah, and there's also a few, like we should also mention, Mike, you have Tony Ortega, who does a great, he has a great website. You have the Scientology Money Project done by Jeffrey Augustine. Any others that I'm missing?
Critical Thinking by Chris Shelton.
Exactly. And there's just a group of these like powerhouses that have continued to expose Scientology correctly and accurately. Right. Yeah. Okay. Guys, thank you. Yeah. We're a mess. We got to get our shit together, Mike. If we plan on doing this seriously, Mike, we got to get better at this. I bet you
there's... Yes, ma'am.
Okay, good. Anyway,
this is our first episode, Leah.
You're right. You're right. Please hang in there with us, guys. And I don't even know if I have a most dynamic voice to be doing a podcast. But yeah, quite honestly, do you know when people call the house, Mike, they go, hello, sir. But is it? I just go with it. Or people call me on my cell. They go, Angelo? I go, no, Jimmy, it's Leah. So phone sex is definitely out. But I don't know how I sound on this podcast. And I apologize because, I mean, I think... You know, people need to see my face with this horrific voice of mine. But I'll settle for the voice.
I don't think your voice is horrific.
You're just used to it.
At least you talk quickly, not like me.
Yeah, you do have like these pregnant pauses. Like it's like really, pauses. Pauses. I don't know. Anyway, you guys, Listen, we want to hear from you. Like, let us know what you want us to talk about. I mean, we always have a lot to talk about with Scientology. There's just no shortage of things to talk about. And listen, going forward, we're going to be talking to people that you have seen on The Aftermath, but we also have to, we're revisiting people too that we've talked to in the past, only because they didn't get to tell a certain part of their story on The Aftermath. So don't think we're repeating episodes on you.
You're going to hear all new stuff. Like, even yes. if it's old people, you're going to hear new stuff. No
exactly.
question about
old people,
that.
That's what we should call it. Old people, new stuff.
There you go. At least I'm the old people. You can be the new stuff.
Well, I don't know. I might get a boob job just so that I can say I'm the new stuff. But but if I'm having a podcast, I don't need to. I don't even need to get dressed. I don't even know why I'm sitting here in makeup and hair and a cute outfit.
Well, because we get to see you.
Yeah, true. Maybe we'll show these
Isn't
one
that
day.
That good enough?
Maybe we'll show these one day. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe we will. Yeah.
All right. Anyway, you guys, thank you for tuning in and thank you for your support. We are so happy to be back and we'll be back next week. We love you.
Bye, everyone.
Okay. We got to get better at this, Mike. We suck at the beginnings and the ends. Anyway, till next week, people.